Welcome to the Farm to Table Talk podcast, where we talk about our food system from what we eat to how it's grown. I'm your host, Roger Wasson. Today we're going to talk about the need for more education and research on organics and a system to pay for the research and education. My guests are Marty Mesh and Melody Meyer. Marty Mesh is Executive Director of the Florida Organic Growers. And the Florida Organic Growers is a Florida nonprofit organization that promotes organic agriculture and healthy and just food systems by informing producers, consumers, media, institutions, governments about the benefits of organic and sustainable agriculture. Today, we're going to take it beyond Florida. That's how the need to be able to do that on a national basis now. Marty's roots in the business go back to the 70s when he was one of the early organic farmers. And since then, he's been involved in nearly every progressive initiative in the industry, serving on boards, committees, and being recognized as one of the top organic leaders in the nation. We've got you connected in Florida, and we've got on the other line our second guest, is another widely respected leader, Melody Meyer. Melody is Vice President of Policy and Industry Relations for United Natural Foods. And online, I see, Melody, that at one point someone quoted you saying all your experiences have led to a lifelong dream of changing the way people eat and farm. Do you still have that dream?
Indeed, I do.
We're going to get into your dreams in a few minutes here, and I think, but United Natural Foods is a for-profit company supplying foods and marketing services to retailers, but their mission is to connect farms to families, and they've got some very impressive values that they declare and beliefs to support that mission. They also are involved with the foundation, and Melody, you're the current executive director of their foundation, which is dedicated to funding nonprofit organizations that promote organic and sustainable agriculture and healthy food systems. And priorities of the foundation are organic research, protecting biodiversity of seeds, promoting transparent labeling, and educating consumers on healthy food choices. And this is where we want to start our conversation today. And what really brings us to the table, you both have been very involved in communicating to consumers about organic. And, you know, I wonder about the need for consumer educations. Of course, this, as you do the consumer education, as you do promotion, as you do research, there's going to be the need for an overarching system, some way to raise the funds to pay for the education and research programs. Melody and Marty, let's talk first about the need to do more education, the need for people to better understand what organics are, what they stand for. And I have to start off with a challenge to you, because it seems like there's been a lot of progress. There's been a big growth in organics. How would you describe the need to do more in this area?
Well, I'll jump in. I think the problem that we're seeing it is that the organic industry in America is thriving, it's maturing, but we think it's at a critical juncture. Many consumers remain really unaware of what that organic seal really means and all the regulations and the thought processes and the certification that goes into that seal. There's a lot of consumer confusion. There's been many, many studies. That people, there's so many labels. There's non-GMO, there's natural. So there's no doubt that we need a large, loud, coordinated promotion plan to clear up that consumer misunderstanding. We need to do a better job of educating of what it means to be organic and why it's important.
Marty, is that your experience too?
Well, it's nice that it's been growing at a rapid rate, but we're nowhere near where we want to be and where we should be, given the importance of the environmental contributions that organic can make to saving natural habitat, ecosystems, water, and all the positive aspects of it. And so we need to educate, do a better job of educating consumers. Anybody will tell you, and many consumers will tell you in data or surveys that, they value the word natural more than organic now. And so to try to straighten out that misinformation is vital. Companies, might migrate to the non-GMO label because that's what consumers are concerned about, even though organic has never allowed GMOs. But consumers don't know that. So how we can better tell the message, how we can better educate consumers, will only help grow the sector. And I will say that the sector is still very small. And so when your question about, well, haven't we grown enough? We're growing rapidly. We're still only 5% of the food total, maybe 11% in dairy or bagged salads. And so we have a long way to go until we can really honestly say we've grown enough.
Melody, do you want to start with what's brought everybody to the table and the system that's being proposed to be able to raise the money?
Yes. The idea for the organic checkoff would be that it would be the payment in would be small and broad across the whole entire supply chain. So not just farmers, but also any handlers or importers. So everybody pays a little bit, and we could potentially have $30 million a year for research, promotion, and education of organic. When it comes to expanding market share, checkoff programs have proven that they're strength in numbers. I think there's research out there that shows that for every $1 spent on a research and promotion program, the return on investment can range as high as $18 for that $1.
Marty, you see this from several different perspectives. I'm sure you get an earful from the marketers and from the brands and from farmers, big and small. How do you see this process working? What has caused you to be enthusiastic about going this direction?
Because there's still vital needs for the industry. Because as a farmer, I thought that organic agriculture had merit. I thought that people, if they understood it, if the consumers were educated, they would support it. And so I see the potential. I see the benefits of organic, and I always have. But now we need to step up to the plate and try to fund some of that stuff. And so getting research funded on behalf of for farmers on practical aspects of solving some of the problems or challenges that they might face, for helping companies get their message out as to, they could concentrate on their brands in their own advertising, but if we all aggregate a little bit of money together, we could get the message out about organic. And then the brands can do their own advertising as far as their own individual brands. And consumers, they, as I said before, they need to have a better understanding of what organic is and try to respond to or avoid some of the misrepresentations and misperceptions in the marketplace that natural is better than organic, that non-GMO is better than organic. We need to really be able to tell our story better.
And, I would agree with Marty 100%. I've dedicated my entire career, my life, to growing organic agriculture, and we've got to get beyond the 1% and 2%. And the way we do that is we make it easier for farmers to either transition their land into organic or begin new organic farmers. And part of the information that this checkoff would provide would be for transitioning and beginning organic farmers. So right now we have the NRCS has one organic specialist in the entire U.S. because that position requires a 50-50 match from the industry. Has offered three more positions, but they haven't been filled because there's no matching funds.
Well, Melody, one other thing you said when you were starting to explain this was something unique about this program is it would not only be farmers that would pay. So companies that are, would be companies that are marketing organic products, would they also pay the checkoff?
Everybody that holds an organic certification, an organic certificate, would pay in a little bit. With the exception of small farms as defined by USDA, and that's a threshold of $250,000 a year in income. Those farmers could choose to pay in if they wanted to, but they would not be obligated to pay in. If they chose to pay in, then they could participate in the referendums and the governance portion of this program.
Marty, do you run into growers that when they like the idea that others are paying rather than just growers, but that are also fearful that somehow that they're going to be more sophisticated or more somehow control the program and the farmers' voices will be watered down because if they're putting, if these companies are putting money into the program, are the farmers concerned that they may not have a voice?
Well, I don't think it's a concern in this checkoff program. It has been a legitimate concern in other checkoff programs, but if you read the proposal, if you read when it comes out, when they publish a proposed rule, we, in our thinking, in our development, by listening to farmers, we have come up with a way to balance the who's on the board, who makes those decisions, who's in charge, how do farmers have possibility to advocate or to select or to vote for their own representative to who sits on the board in the producer seats, and that the board itself will have to get along and will have to make decisions as a board, as a group of people with from the industry that is acting on the best interest of the industry.
Do you see this, if this makes progress, is this going to somehow contribute to more farmland being converted to certified organic production?
Absolutely. It will contribute to more farmland being certified organic. Right now, there's probably less than 2% or 1%, a little over 1% of the farmland is certified organic. That's nowhere near enough to solve the environmental problems of commonplace agriculture. And it will result in more farmers seeing a greater market growth so that we're not constantly, you know, arguing or fighting over the slice of the pie, but we're trying to grow the pie itself. And so as more and more consumers come to understand and appreciate the benefits of organic agriculture, there'll be a market for more people. There's already a supply shortage in many parts of the country from consumers that are going to local farmers markets to buy food directly from farmers and wanting to buy organic food, and there's not enough organic farmers in those places. In the places where there are enough organic farmers, we need to do a better job of educating consumers to grow the customer base for those farmers. But in most places, there's a shortage of farmers. We have, in Florida, we have farmers markets that have no certified organic farmers there, even though the people that are going to the markets are in search of certified organic produce and want to support local farmers. So we have a ways to go to kind of put all the pieces together, the opportunities that are here before us in this time and place, and take advantage of that. Take advantage of those opportunities.
Well, it sounds like one of the challenges too would be demonstrate to those small farmers that they're worth the investment, even though the law won't force them to participate. That they might want to be in, and if that the rate is small enough that they could, you know, feel they can jump in and not be hurt by it at all. And in fact, could you explain, let's go from the 35,000 foot level back down to ground level, and could you explain how it works? Say if I'm a farmer and I'm selling, you know, whatever, my vegetables, how would I the assessment become known to me, and do I write a check to somebody, or is it taken off the check that someone pays me and sent to whatever organization is formed?
The amount that you pay in if you are above $250,000 is 0.1% of your net organic sales. So you would back out your cost of organic cost of goods, and then it's 0.1%.
Do you write a check out then to some board or council?
Yes, and those details I have not been finalized. The first board, governance board, would determine some of those details.
Now, the same thing, then, if you're a certifying company that has a product that's certified organic, you're purchasing from growers, you would do the same thing, then,
correct.
That the retail value, you would send 0.1%
correct.
to this board. It strikes me that there's going to be thousands and thousands of conversations covering some of the things we did today. Most of them probably agree that it would be good to get more information out. And they'll have different opinions on how much funding and so forth, but that can all be taken care of if you're having conversations across the country. So I want to thank you for getting that conversation started. Two things I want to ask you just to wrap up. We're going to talk a little bit just about the timetable, where this is in the process and how people can get engaged. And then I'm also going to ask you both to kind of summarize where people can go for more information. If somebody's saying, I haven't made up my mind, I want to know more about it, I want to get involved, so I'm going to ask you to answer that too. So, but let's start first with where it is at the USDA and what are the steps that need to be happening over this next 6 to 9 months before there may be a referendum across the country on the issue.
Well, I'll give that a go. We submitted a petition to the USDA this May. USDA is to publish a proposed rule for public comment. We expect them to publish that proposed rule sometime summer 2016. Once they get that public comment, the USDA will then review and analyze those comments, and then they'll finalize a rule based on all of that comment. So we want to get the word out when that comment period is open. USDA will put out a final rule regarding the establishment of an organic checkoff, and they'll conduct a referendum sometime early 2017. Thereafter, the results will be tabulated and announced. If it's successful, an industry-governed board will be appointed by USDA with input from the sector, and they will direct the organic checkoff program.
To win, if it passes, is it going to be a majority of those voting?
It's a simple majority, yes.
Okay. And Marty, when farmers ask you, how do I find out more about this, or how do I get myself engaged in this whole conversation, what do you suggest?
Well, to get involved, to read the proposal when it comes out, to get involved. We're still open to having conversations with farmers, with companies, to explain, to articulate really our thinking behind it, the rationale, the idea itself. We're always taking ideas. We've taken ideas and comments to help shape and improve the proposal through the life of this thing, you know, and we're still involved. We could use farmers that have come to appreciate and understand the benefits to not only read it and get up to speed, but to get involved and engaged in the process. You know, there's letters to editors that could be done. There's meetings of farmers that people could go to. There's conversations with their neighbors. And they have to, on some level, be willing to speak from their heart and speak their truth to say, I actually think this would be good for the industry, even though their colleagues are reading stuff on the internet that goes, oh, this is the worst possible thing for farmers or the industry. If they become a person that sees the potential, that understands the need that the industry is in, and want to help it succeed, then we need to hopefully get them actively engaged.
So, Marty, as a farmer looks at this and says, okay, well, I'm going to vote this in, and then am I stuck with a bureaucracy or a tax or something that lasts forever? Is that a reason for concern?
No. In our development of this idea, we evaluated other marketing, research and marketing promotion programs or checkoff programs. We tried to analyze how we could improve them, how, you know, what could be been done to make this checkoff better, or what would we want to do with an organic checkoff to make this better than some of the checkoffs that, that we feel like haven't been supported by and haven't served farmers well. And so one of the things that is required is a independent audit, an analysis. And so we, in a referendum every 7 years. So basically in year five, there'll be an independent audit that really says, where did the money go? What's happened to the money? You know, what research has it funded? What effects has that research had? What promotion has it funded? What information has information dissemination has been funded? What efforts have all been done on behalf or with the checkoff dollars? And, you know, if plant breeding is part of it, what varieties have come out from that? And I might add, you know, non-patented varieties. What equipment has been developed using checkoff funds, non-patented equipment, I might add, in the public domain, and to really see the benefits. And then in year seven, we call for a referendum again. So at the end of the day, it's kind of an experiment to say, can we as a community, as an industry, aggregate 0.1% for 7 years and try to really step up to the plate and grow organic agriculture. At the end of the 7 years, still not even at 0.75% of revenues in your invest, and the payoff, the return on that investment, huge. But in 7 years, if it hasn't proven itself, that referendum vote, then if it doesn't impress people, then it can die on the vine. So in watermelon terms, you know, it'll wither on the vine and die and go away. So there's an exit strategy out of it. We're not stuck with it forever.
I would urge everybody that's interested to go to groworganic, all one word, .net, and you can look at the executive summary. There's a page, if you like this idea, if you think it's the right thing for organic, you can endorse it. There's a place to sign on and say, yes, I'm an endorser. I believe this is a good idea. And then you can also get your colleagues to endorse it. Get the word out to your networks. You can even write an op-ed for us if you really, really think it's a great idea. We didn't really touch much on research, but there's most of this would be for organic research, and it really requires matching dollars. At a lot of these land-grant universities. So for the sake of organic, check this out, groworganic.net, and endorse it.
Well, I want to thank you both. I mean, you've started a conversation, and there's going to have to be thousands of conversations. We'll probably have other podcasts as well, but thousands of conversations across the country. And you know, glad you've taken the time to start the discussion with us today on Farm to Table Talk.
Well, we just want to say thanks to y'all, and it's a pleasure and an honor to be invited to the table to have a discussion. I'm very appreciative of the opportunity to have a conversation with any farmer and or to the listening audience of the podcast. And these discussions are critical. The conversations are critical to have to try to see this thing through to its end. What I hope it's its end. And my end point, if I look down at 7 years later from the next referendum vote, when farmers and handlers will decide whether or not the program itself, whether or not a small investment from each of them has served to you know, disseminate information to conventional farmers about transitioning, has served them to grow the consumer base and their understanding and differentiating between the word natural or GMO free and organic. That organic is all of that and so much more, that you know, that they come to appreciate truly what organic agriculture and what organic products offer, it, both in terms of the agriculture production, in terms of the processing, and that they have a grasp of it. I think we'll see the market grow tremendously. But you know, we have 7 years till the next referendum with a small investment to accomplish a lot of things, and the time is now. The time is past past now. We've needed this for a long time. And so to have organic have some resources of its own to encourage the critical plant and animal breeding and variety development that will be able to thrive and grow under organic production, to be able to educate consumers about, you know, again, the benefits of organic agriculture and organic products, to be able to provide information to the next generation of farmers or this generation of farmers that may be interested but not able to do it, and to fund some of the agronomic research concerns that are so critical and prevalent to whether or not a farmer's operation is successful. I'm just appreciative of the opportunity and hope that the conversation continues.
I appreciate it very much. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining the Farm to Table Talk podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and subscribe to listen regularly on SoundCloud or iTunes to Farm to Table Talk.